started with the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve a common problem and to help others from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denominations, politics, organization, or institution. It is not wishing to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any cause. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And now that brings us to why we're here, Tommy Burns. I've known Tommy for quite a while since I've been in the program, and I'll share one little thing with you. It'll take a minute, and then I'll give you Tommy. Early on in my sobriety, he told in his lead there how he got off the couch with, I think it was a box of candy and a card. And that really worked, you know, because I did that too. So, you know, and I did some other things that Tommy suggested, but I didn't just go do them right off the bat, you know. I had to go through a little pain to do all these other things. But that, I'll never will forget that when Tommy talked about that, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try that too, and it does work. So I'm grateful for him for that, and I haven't had to be put back on the couch since. With that, I'll give you Tommy.
My name is Tom Burns. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Friday night, Avon Lake, and Tuesday, Avon at the Bond. My sobriety date is July the 5th, 1962, which means I pulled from 43 years of experiences. And believe me, you get up here and a thousand things run through your head. And you see people that you haven't seen in a while and you think of something that happened when you were with them. And you meet people that you haven't seen in years and you think of those years. And I just left my wife. We were at a gathering over in Huron. And she says, okay, you go cover New London. I'll stay here and I'll see you midnight tonight. I said, okay. She says, but remember, keep some order in your lead. She says, ever since you turned 70, you're getting senile, Burns. You talk about 40 years ago, you talk about yesterday, then you talk about our grandkids, you talk about our kids. She says, you're all over the place. She says, I can follow you, I lived it. But those people, a lot of those people don't know us, Tommy, and they may not be able to follow you. I says, honey, I'm talking alcoholics. And believe me, babe, they're not wrapped too tight either. You don't have to worry about alcoholics communicating. I'll take two cups of coffee, and any five alcoholics in this room sit down at one of these tables, and at the end of two cups of coffee, we know each other a long time. Because I say to another alcoholic, you know, when I come here, I lived in fear and didn't even know what the hell I was afraid of. Oh, yeah, yeah, you don't have to explain that. I woke up in jail and didn't know what day it was or how I got there. Oh, yeah, so you don't got to shock them. Woke up and the house was cold and the wife and kids were gone. And I was broke and I was sick and I did it again. I didn't mean that. I was just going to stop and have a couple. Here I am again. Wake up in jail and not know why you're there. Oh yeah, you're in the right place, fella. You just keep coming back. Where do you come and find people that talk to you, not at you? Where do you come and get the feeling? That's not a good omen. That can't be good. That can't be good. Where do you get the feeling that people accept you? Where do you get the feeling that people have what I call the good eyes, the people that look at you, not down at you, talk to you, not at you, and make you feel you're glad and don't look at you like you're some kind of moral degenerate? You find it here, people. If anybody new here, you're going to find it. You're going to find people that have joy out of watching you make another day sobriety. And I promise you, it's possible not to drink today and be happy. It's possible not to drink today and live life on life's terms. Tomorrow, I don't know. I may talk different. But today, you live life on life's terms. And that's how I learned to live when I come here. People showed me how to live one day at a time. God almighty, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and drinking was a way of life, people. My dad was an admitted alcoholic. I seen drinking from the time I was that high. That used to be the social event of the week. Most of the men in the neighborhood worked in the shipyards, and when they got paid, they met on Friday nights at the neighborhood bar, and you played shuffleboard and sang songs and told lies, and how great it was in Ireland. But crying out loud, even when I was that high, I knew something was wrong. Half of those people never seen Ireland. And the other half, I figured if it was so damn good, what the hell are they doing here? South Brooklyn was no bargain. You get drinking when you're 16, 15, you wind up in the service. You come home from the service and you go through the legal drinking years. You're expected to drink. You're getting rehabilitated, the civilian life. I was caught in a bar fight in San Francisco. My dad told everybody in the neighborhood that I was wounded in Korea. I can't find Korea on a map. I don't know where the hell Korea is. But I loved it. I could walk into a bar with a dollar and drink for 3 days. There's Tommy, had it rough over there. Send him down a drink. One of the old timers in the neighborhood come down. He puts his arm around your shoulder. He says, gee, Tom, I heard you had it rough over there. How'd it happen? I just put my head down and said, well, the doctors say I shouldn't talk about it. What the hell are you going to tell them? You're not going to make a liar out of your dad. And if he's buying a drink, you'll tell him any damn thing he wants to hear. Alcoholics, they'll be whatever they have to be at the time. We have to think on our feet because we don't remember last night. We have to put pieces together. Alcoholics. Had a nurse tell me about alcoholics. God almighty, this happened over... I was only sober about 8 months. My sponsor Jay called me and he says, Tommy, I'm tied up on the job tonight. He says, I can't make it. Jay was a great believer of going up and talking to patients at the hospitals. I think the hospitalization came in 58 or 59, in through there. Don't quote me, people. I can't remember yesterday, but I'm pretty sure it's that's the area. Because before then, you weren't too welcome. We had Stella Maris. We had a few flop houses, Sophie Farquharson's. Sister Ignatia would take a few. Sister Ignatia, we just did a... Anyway, they got together, a bunch of us that knew Sister Ignatia, and they interviewed us for a documentary that they're going to show next Founders Day. And there was about 9 of us that had dealings with her, and it was a great thing. It's funny how she was different to different people. Some said she was the most kind, loving person I ever met. Others said she was the toughest little son of a gun you ever seen. It's amazing. But anyway... I said, okay, Jay, I says, I'll go up, and I went up to Lorraine. Two West, second floor at the Lorraine Community Hospital, and they didn't have room for alcoholic wards, so they put the alcoholics in with the mental patients. That's the way they were, same room, same bed, same everything. And I went up to the second floor, and the nurse stopped me, and she said, oh, Tommy, you're here for the... You're here for the meeting? I says, yes. She says, I'll get the patients. And she walked down a long hall. Tap a few guys, walk by a few, tap a few, walk by a few. Finally, she got 10 or 12 guys together. She said, go down to the TV room. We're going to have an AA meeting. And I grabbed her. I says, how do you know who to tap and who not to tap? How do you separate the alcoholics from the mental patients? She says, oh, it's easy, Tom. I says, I've been sober a little while. I can't tell any difference. She says, you could if you were here 3 days, Tommy. I says, why is that? She says, well, we carry them all in. After 3 days, you see the ones walking down the hall kind of quiet and sedate and to themselves? I says, yes. She says, they're the mental patients. You see the ones in the office telling us how to run the hospital? Huh? Alcoholics, huh? Quick forgetters, boy. You realize if you're an alcoholic, you're laughing at yourself. Do you realize that? You know how good that is? That's the beginning of getting well, people, when I found out I'm not the center of the universe. You tell a joke about an alcoholic when he's drinking, he'll punch your lights out. We're very touchy, sensitive people. We don't like that. You come here, we learn how to laugh at ourselves. We learn that there's more important things than us. It's a great way to go, people. Easy way to go. I'm home a short time, and my dad
I'm getting into some jackpots, people. I'm getting into some heavy jackpots. My dad grabbed me one night. He says, Tommy, he says, I think your mother's seen enough of this nonsense with me. If this is how you want to run your life, do us a favor and get out of the house. I said, okay, Dad. And I was discharged in California, so I was going back out to California because it was awful good out there. They had swimming pools in their backyards. They were all there driving nice new cars. Everybody was rich. I figured, I want a piece of that action. So I got on a bus to go back to Riverside, California. And they had a rest stop in a town called Lorain, Ohio. And I seen the bars up Broadway in Lorain, Ohio, and I got off the bus to have a couple of drinks in Lorain, Ohio. That was 1953. I'm still here, people. I get in qualifying right there. Whenever I drink, everything leaves. Buses, clothes, cars, wives, kids, houses, jobs. Everything leaves. Because when I drink, there's something wrong with me. They call it alcoholism. I don't care what you call it. I'm allergic to booze, people. Drink trouble. That's my life. Drink trouble. The price gets too high, people. The price sooner or later gets too high. Pretty soon you get to the point where living and dying looks easier than living. And I got to that point. And thank God we have something called AA. God Almighty, thank God we have AA. You're going to get the impression when I get in AA, boy, that guy loves it. You better believe I love it, people. My son has 22 years of sobriety. I watch my grandkids grow up in a healthy home. Yeah, I love it. I stopped in a few drinks. I had a drink here. The bartender buys one. This guy buys one. You buy one. You know how that goes. And pretty soon it's 3 days later and you're coming off a drunk and you're almost broke and you call home. Dad, I'm in this town and you send me some dough, Dad. I'll send it back 100-fold when I get out to the coast. My dad had been talking to people in AA. Hey, I have this son that's nuttier than a jaybird when he drinks. What can I do to help him? Frank, you want to help him? Yeah, don't help him. What the hell kind of advice is that? Let him wake up in enough jails. Let him beat his head against up walls. Let him get to the point where he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let him get to the point for just a couple of seconds he gets honest with himself. He says, maybe it's me. Then we'll break our backs to help him there, Frank. But till then, let the clown finish his act. Now, people, I've done it. I'll do it again. And I'm sure if you're in this program, you're going to do it. You're going to go out and try to help people who need it and don't want it. It'll keep you sober. It'll break your heart, too, but it'll keep you sober. And you hope to God that you didn't blow it trying to give him something that he didn't want. My dad says, good luck and goodbye. I'm sitting in a neighborhood bar in Lorain, and somebody said they need the chemical engineers out in Avon Lake. So I went out for an interview. Got the job. Now I'm a chemical engineer. I can't spell chemical engineer. But I guarantee you, you put an alky with his back to the wall, he'll be what he has to be. You watch him. Friday night, he's fighting 6 cops. He's winning for 3 seconds. Tuesday morning before the judge, you think he's an altar boy. Oh, Your Honor, I don't know what happened. Oh, Your Honor. While working, I met a young lady. Oh, God, the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. Still is. We just celebrated 53 years, 54, 53. I don't know, long time. God almighty. I met her in November. I married her in December. We give it a lot of thought. We just don't jump into things. We knew we had a good thing and we grabbed it. Her mother was so happy. Her daughter married a chemical engineer and she was going to live happily ever after. Her dad was a pipe fitter welder by trade. He was working out of town at the time. He come home. Let's get down the corner, Tom, have a few drinks, get to know one another. I said, okay, my kind of people. about 11 o'clock. He said, do me a favor, Tom. I said, anything you want, you name it, Walt. He says, never come near my home or my daughter again. I said, what are you talking about? I thought we got along wonderful. He says, we do, but you drink too much. I said, what do you mean I drink too much? You're drinking drink for drink with me. That's why I know. That's why I know. I put my family through hell with this booze. I don't want my daughter going through. I said, I'm going to marry your daughter. He sold my dead body. I says, if need be. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. He broke my nose right there. Bang. Hour later, they're sewing him up. They're sewing me up. It's a mess. 3 days later, I married his daughter. Went to work drunk, lost a job. Now I'm in a strange town with a wife, no job, no money, no nothing. So the poor guy, what can he... He takes me into Cleveland and he gets me involved in a pipe fitter apprenticeship. And Tommy starts working as a pipe fitter apprentice, and we take a two-car garage and we make it into a nice little, what we call a honeymoon cottage. Put a little bathroom and shower in the living room. Oh, just a beautiful little dollhouse. And the deal is we're going to live there for a couple of years till Tommy starts making better money, and then we're going to buy a house in the suburbs and live happily ever after. Huh. 4 children and 7 years later, we're still in the cottage. And I'm a journeyman now, and I'm making a pretty decent buck, but the more I make, the more I drink. I used to drink on Friday, Saturday, sober up Sunday, go to work Monday. Now it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sober up Monday, go to work Tuesday. Get paid on Wednesday, I don't make Thursday. I don't. Wake up in New York, Jersey, Chicago, driveway, kitchen floor. I used to wake up on the kitchen floor a lot. People, I don't know what it was like in your homes. I can only tell you what it was like in my home. If you're an alcoholic and you were married and had kids, I imagine we're going to cross paths on a lot of it. But I'm just having to tell you what it was like then, so when I tell you what it's like now, you see the difference in sober living and drunken living. And believe me, I live both ways. Sober's better. Sober's better. I wake up on the kitchen floor and she'd be there with the kids and say, Tommy, I need some money for groceries. I don't have any money for groceries. I don't know what happens. I go in to cash the check and have a couple of drinks and next thing I know, it's last call. What the hell happened at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock? I don't know. It just... So I did the only thing I know how to do. I would attack. Damn it, I drank when I'm married. I'm going to continue to drink, and if you don't like it, rah, rah, rah. You're not going to make me a wimp like that neighbor. I had a neighbor. I hated his guts. Normal type of guy. Just a sick son of a gun. Well, you'd be in a neighborhood bar, and he would walk in, and I'd buy him a drink. And he'd drink it and leave. One drink and leave. I say, where are you going? He said, I have to go home. Supper is waiting. Supper's waiting. When I stopped in for one drink, I could care less if the Pope is waiting. Don't let him wait. This is drink time. This is party time. You don't go anywhere. Yelling and screaming. I'm leaving you. That was my big spiel. I'm leaving you. Oh, where the hell am I going? Go in and start packing my brown paper bag with my toothbrush and my underwear. She came in and cried. Ah, it was sickening, people. My wife was born and raised in that town. She couldn't face people she went to school with because she's married to some yo-yo. When my wife was 26 years old, she looked 60. Now, believe me, she's well over 60, and she looks 26 to me. Thank you, Al-Anon. Thank you. You gave my wife her brains back. And I promise you, AA will give you a new brain. Things that you used to think are important aren't important anymore. When I get through one of my spiels now, she says, stick it, Burns. What the hell does that mean? Stick it, Burns. Crying out loud. She never lets me get a big head. When I was retiring, I went to Social Security. Forgot my wallet, and I come home. I said, do you realize that that girl didn't believe I was 65? She thought I was too young for Social Security. I unbuttoned my shirt, I showed her the gray hairs and everything. She said, you should unbutton your pants. You would have got disability. No. Where the hell did that come from? That damn Al-Anon, she just turned into a... I come home one night, my suitcase hit me right in the chest. She's go. I'll go back to nursing. I'll do whatever I have to do. I can't. I just can't live this way anymore. I was happy. I was going to go and live on the Gold Coast. I was going to get a Cadillac convertible. Oh, drink and dream. Hello. There's my buddy. There's my buddy sitting there. Keeping me honest. That's what she's doing. She's going to yell at me if I don't shake hands with her, aren't you? You do it at Vermilion all the time. You grab me and shake me. I know. I see you. Well, you're not working too steady. You don't live on the Gold Coast. You have an $8 a week room on 65th in Detroit, and your big nights out are sitting all night with dives peeling the labels off of beer bottles listening to Poor Me songs. Tell me about the good times. Tell me about all the fun. Want to see your kids? When you want to see your kids, you want to see your kids after the bars close. You drive out to Avon Lake in your car. We all got cars, don't we? You know, most people in construction, they have two cars. They have a nice family car that they go on vacations and trips with, and then they have an old beater, an old pickup or whatever to go to the mills and all the junk jobs. Well, we never had two cars. We always had one car, always a beater. Had an old Plymouth. God almighty, I didn't even have an ignition key for that car. While drinking one night, I lose the keys. My brother-in-law says, "Don't worry, Tommy, I'll fix it." He reaches under the dash, pulls out all the wires, gives me a clothespin and three wires, and you put the three wires together and you put the clothespin on, the car starts. I'm going to work. There's bumper to bumper traffic. Everybody's going, trying to get to work. I hit a bump. The clothespin falls. The car stops. I'm in the middle of Clifton Boulevard. Everybody blowing horns at me. I'm looking for the damn clothespin. And I thought that was normal. Who spent money on keys? You don't spend. She said, "We were separated a year and a half. I know it got old." I remember one time I had 37 stitches in my face. Some guy did a job on me with a ring. And I thought, wow, this be a good time to see her. I used to go out and the cops would stop me because there was reframing order, retraining. What's the word I'm looking for? Maybe I am getting senile. Restraining order. So when I got cut up, I thought, well, she'll feel sorry for me. So I knocked on the back door. She opened the door and looked at me. She says, "Do you know God answers prayers?" Slammed the door. That was it. That was the end of that routine. I called her up. I said, "Glenn, I'm fed up. I'm fed up living this way." I says, "Listen, I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. I want to get back together with you and your kids. I'd like to take you on a picnic." She says, "You haven't drank in 3 weeks?" I says, "That's right." She's okay. So I went out Sunday and I bought baseball gloves and baseballs and picnic baskets. And I did all the things that I thought fathers do. Who teaches you how to be a father? Who teaches you that? I went out and I picked them up and I took them down the valley and I played ball. I did this for 3 Sundays in a row, and she thought I was a changed man, and we were going to try again. Fresh start. Always a fresh start. And we bought a house, borrowing money from friends and relatives. We bought a house on land contract in Avon Lake, one of those little summer cottages. And we moved in, and people, I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not trying to con anybody. I stood on the front porch. I said, "Glenn, I'm never going to drink again." When an alky tells you he's not going to drink, and he means it. He's not trying to con you. He means it. I meant it. I'm going to go to work Monday, and we're going to start paying him. I was making as much money as anybody in the neighborhood. They're driving new cars every other year. They're taking nice vacations with their family down to Florida. Their kids are going to school dressed nice and warm. In the wintertime, my kids are going to school with holes in their shoes. There's something wrong, and we can't afford to go to Akron. And you're always robbing from Peter to pay Paul. It's always a rat race. Borrow from one finance company to pay another, and another one to pay those two, another one to pay. By the time you get here, you got 5 finance companies guaranteeing you pay. Borrow money to pay off judges and lawyers on drunken driving charges. You can't get a job at the hall because they know the first time you get a check, you're drunk. Life isn't too good. Well, we moved in, and it was 30 days later. I'm sitting on the front porch nursing a hangover, and I know it was 30 days later because the house payment was due, and I didn't have it. It was on land contract, and if you don't have the payment, you lose the house. And the reason we didn't have it was I'm driving home from work, and I live with six crazy people up here. Christ's sake, you haven't had a drink in almost a month. They don't appreciate it. You're going to be a wimp. You're going to turn out like that neighbor. Pretty soon you'll be doing the dishes, you dumb son of a gun. Why don't you work hard, you play hard, you drink. You deserve a drink. Drink anytime you want. If they don't like it, they can go to pound salt. And I listen to that son of a gun. I listen to him. That's the one you're damn right. Oh, I'm stopping to have a couple. If they don't like it, the hell with them. Well, then one leads to another, and the next thing you know, you're the same old rat race. Well, I'm sitting there, up comes my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is an electrician buddy of mine who I introduced to my wife's sister, and they got married. Oh, God, you should see my father-in-law now. He's a raving maniac. He comes home from jobs. He wants to kill us. Well, he comes up to the porch, and I'm hurting. And he don't look too good either. And he says, geez, Tom, he says, I got problems. I says, what do you mean you got problems? He says, well, he says, I got to go before Judge Jensen Tuesday on a drunken driving charge. I says, Bob, I don't want to hear about drunken driving charges. I says, I got four of them in the last 5 months. They're letting me pay off the one in Avon on time payments on money I haven't got. I says, don't tell me about drunken driving charges. He says, yeah, but I'm being sued for divorce. I said, I know. He says, how do you know? I said, I got my papers this morning, too. Judge Jensen was a friend of the families. He called both the wives in. He says, look, I'll give you two divorces for the price of one. Get rid of both the losers. While we're talking, out comes the wife. She's talking to brother-in-law. Get along great. Still do. God, we, the four of us, just got in his 38-foot motorhome. We traveled all the way to Arizona and New Mexico and Texas. Oh, we had a six-week trip. We just bummed around the country together. Because you got a few pennies now, you can enjoy yourself. My sister and I were talking to a minister in this town. He told us about a group of people that meet on Friday nights at his church, and they don't drink, and they're putting their lives together. And he said, gee, you think if I go to that club, she'll hold off on a divorce? She says, I don't know, Bob. That'd be up to her. But you and her get along great when you don't drink. It might be worth a shot. I say, hey, how about me? I'll go. I'll go to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts. I'll go anywhere. I don't want a divorce. She says, they don't make anything to people like you. You're crazy. You're just mentally, you're crazy. Friday night, we went to our, quote, first AA meeting. I'm 28 years old. He's 26. Who the hell can tell you anything when you're 28? You're streetwise. You know all the answers. You're not smart enough yet to learn from other people's experiences. You got to experience everything yourself, the good and the bad. And we get to the doors of Avon Lake, and people is one thing I'm sure of, is I don't like people. I don't trust people. Everybody's a phony, everybody's out for what they can get, and I'm going to sucker you before you sucker me. When you live in the streets, you think the streets. I didn't know I was going to meet people like I met in these rooms. I didn't know there were people like I met in these rooms. I didn't know there were people that come back to my house and sat on my kitchen table at 3-4 in the morning because they thought I was shaking. They wanted to make sure I got through the night. And they went to work the next morning. They didn't have their hand out to take anything. They only had their hand out to help. Because old timers get one of their greatest joys out of watching you stay sober. And if you're new, believe that. If you leave here with nothing else, believe that. Our happiest times is when we watch a new man get sober for another day. And pretty soon you see him and the wife and the kids, and they're laughing, and the kids are jumping up and down and happy. And they're finally starting to find a world that they didn't even know existed. That gives us a lot of joy. We finally walk into this room in Avon Lake, and there was about 20 or 30 people there. And they were all dressed nice. They had nice clothes on and dressed nice, and guys there talking with their wives and everybody laughing and blah, blah. I thought, what the hell? I'm at a PTA meeting or something. Where'd they have a drink? And they were all old. 45, 50, 60 years old. No wonder they quit drinking. They try to drink now, they're dead, these old people, for Christ's sake. They can't. They couldn't cut it in today's world. One guy breaks away from the coffee. He's 105. Comes limping over, puts out his hand, says, "Welcome, it's so good to see you young fellas. This program works, fellas. I haven't had a drink in 16 years. 16 years. Oh, my God, my legs got weak. My brother-in-law says, "You got to be awful thirsty, mister." Who the hell ever heard, "Don't talk years"? I beg you, talk days, hours, and minutes. Because that's days you're going to live that way. Days, hours, and minutes. And some days you're going to hang on by your fingernails. They used to say, "Call me." My sponsor said, "Don't call me. Get in your car, get down the turnpike, and drive to Pittsburgh. And when you get to Pittsburgh, stop, have some coffee, and drive to Toledo. When you get to Toledo, stop and have some coffee, and drive back to Pittsburgh. Pull in the rest stops, get some sleep, drive back to Toledo. Because when you're feeling the way I think you're going to feel, you're not going to want to call anybody." You know how many nights I spent driving back and forth on the turnpike? Because you can't get a drink on the turnpike. I drank an awful lot of coffee on the turnpike. Finally, this guy starts telling us about this great life we're going to find. And I thought, oh, God, not me, mister, him. His wife suing him for divorce. And he got drunk and driving charge. And I just come to help him. I can quit any time I want. Oh, he says, "Thank you." And he took Bob, and I went over and got some coffee. Then they announced the lead. Guy gets up here with a brand new suit, white shirt, tie. Oh, he looks so cute. They had a cake, little cake with one candle. It was his first anniversary. I'll never forget this. Never forget as long as I live. And my brother-in-law and I, we went over by the side, about where you're set. We're not getting involved. Alkies don't get involved. I'm up here yakking, and I know as well as I'm standing here. No Alkie really cares too much about what you say. An Alkie will watch what you do. Alkie isn't impressed with ba 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 ba. He heard that ba 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 all his life. If this is my first meeting and I come here and I sit down and I left my house and my wife and kids are looking at me with fear in their eyes, and I come to an AA meeting and sit next to you and you tell me about this spiritual life you found and this great happiness you found and how good life is, and after the meeting we go to your house to have a cup of coffee and I see your wife and your kids look at you with fear in their eyes, you haven't got a damn thing I want. If I go and see your wife say, "Oh, honey, you got a new man, I'll make some coffee," and I see your kids say, "Dad, look what I got today in school," I want what you got. You show me AA. That's what happened. That's the kind of people I met. They show me the results of the 12 steps. Do the 12 steps. Why? Well, if you do them, here's what happens. You don't drink, you get a new brain, and you get to like yourself and love life. Do you know that? I promise you, you'll have a new brain. And what you think and you worry about now, you won't worry about anymore. You won't worry about it anymore. Not important. The only thing that's important is people. If it don't bleed, the hell with it. If it don't bleed, it isn't stocks, bonds, jobs, retirement, blah, 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 blah. No, it's all nonsense. If it don't bleed, the hell with it. You live today the best you can, do the next right thing, and don't worry about it. It's out of your hands anyway. That's what I come to believe. It's a good way to go. Things are going pretty good. Better than I ever dreamed. And better than when I was running it. Guy gets up here and he looks out, and the first thing I hear at an AA meeting, looks at his wife, he says, "Hi, honey, I love you." And she stands up and says, "I love you too." My brother-in-law poked me. He says, "What the hell are we doing here? What are we doing here? I didn't want to come here, you sick son of a gun. You did. My wife's home lighting candles. Dear God, let him die. We'll get the insurance." That's where my marriage was. Second thing I hear, "Isn't it great to be sober? I got up this morning and I could smell the flowers." Smell the flowers. "I got 5 finance companies guaranteeing my pay. I can't get a job. I'm being sued for divorce. I'm going back to jail next week. My life's turned upside down. I come here because I hear you people got it all together. And I'm told if I don't take a drink for a year, you're going to give me a cake and I'm going to smell flowers. You can go pound salt, fella. You don't live in my world. I don't know what kind of world you live in, but I don't know. It's not my world. Just get done so I can get the hell out of here. That's all I wanted." He finally got finished. I start towards the door as quick as I could, and John M. is standing at the door. John M.'s about 6'3", 220 pounds. Good shape. And he don't take his eyes off me as I'm going to the door. And I figured, oh, that's how it works, Tommy. You're not going to drink tonight, because the drink you got to pass John, and he looks pretty good shape, Tom. I got close to John, and John put out his hand. He says, "Hello, young fella." I says, "Hello." "They don't let go of your hand." "Don't let go of your hand." 5 minutes, he told my whole story, from drunken driving, to divorce, to jail time, you name it. You name it. He says, "You know why I know that?" I says, "Yeah, my wife talked to you." He says, "No, that's where I was, and a lot worse." And you're going to meet people in this room that just come out of straps. You're going to meet people that come out of prison. You're going to meet people that come out of the streets. You're going to meet people from priests to laborers. You're going to meet people that live in $500,000 homes on the lake living like zombies. We don't care who you are, how rich you are, what you are out there. We're in here trying to save each other's life for one more day. So you do yourself a favor, young fella. You bring the body here and the mind will catch up. I'll tell you the same thing. Bring the body here, put your feet where we put ours, do the things we do, and you will have what some of us have. I haven't got it yet, but I see guys that do. And it's just a knowing that everything is okay. It's a great way that you can live in your skin. And you don't want to trade places with anyone. It's a great feeling, people. You find a power that you know you're not running the show and you don't have to worry about it. My prayer today, this morning, was the same as it was when I was a year and a half sober. Please, God, I'll move the feet, you run the head. That's it, people. That's what 44 years took me to. That 12 steps took me to a complete faith that I'm not running the show. And if I let the power that I call God run the show, everything's going to be all right. The only time my life gets screwed up is when God don't do things fast enough. And I try to push it. I wind up flat on my back again. And here I am again. Yeah. And you learn anything? Yeah, sure did. Okay, come on. And I don't care if you're sober 50 years, 5 days, or 100 years, you're going to have days where you're going to run the show, because none of us are there yet. None of us here in this room are ever going to walk on water. John introduced me to 2 other men, and that's where I was impressed, where people talk to me and not at me. And on the way home, I said, "What do you think, Bobby? I'm too young, Tom. I got too much living to do." They did all the things that I'm going to do, and then if I get in trouble, I don't know where to go. I said, "Bob, I met 3 guys I like. The rest of them you can keep, but I met 3 guys I like. I'm going back to find out what it's all about." And I come to your meetings. For 4 months, I come to your all these meetings. I used to call them success stories. People used to get up here and say they slept in the streets, drank wine, did this, did that, blah, blah, lost their business, lost their Cadillacs. Blah, blah, blah. Now they're sober 6 months and they're millionaires. I just think bullshit. Come home from the meeting and the wife say, "Hi, honey, how'd the meeting go?" "What do you mean, how'd the meeting go? I'm sober. Am I? What the hell more do you want?" Good AA, huh? Keep those kids quiet. My God, those kids make noise. I'll get nervous and drink. And you better have breakfast. You better have breakfast on the table. If they said I gotta eat breakfast, I don't eat breakfast, I'm gonna get drunk. And it's gonna be your fault. Do us a favor. Go get drunk, for crying out loud. Just get... Laying on a couch and the phone rings and you hear, "Hello?" Yeah, oh. They're having a family get together, but don't tell Tom. Because if Tom comes, there's gonna be a fight. Look at that. I'm sober 6 days and they still treat me like they used to. You're sober 6 days, what the whole world will say, isn't he wonderful? You dumb son of a gun. You gotta pay your dues. You're gonna pay your dues. But you'll get more respect from people than you ever dreamed you could or deserve. And you'll get more love from your family than you deserve. My grandkids call me from all over the country. "Grandpa, I gotta meet you, we gotta talk." Ask my opinion of things. They're smarter than I am. "Grandpa, I'm going to college and I don't know what I want to study. All my friends seem to know what they want to study. I'm not sure." "So what do you like?" "Well, I like to study this. I like..." "Well, then study it. But I don't know. They seem to know. I don't know." "Well, I'm close to 70 and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So what the hell am I going to tell you?" "Is that right, Grandpa?" "That's right." Okay. After 4 months, I come to the conclusion that my problem isn't booze, it's money. Money. I hear about jobs in South Dakota, and I go out there working 7-10s, and I get a job. And as a result of good apprenticeship, I wind up in charge of the Titan II fuel systems, or the Titan II missiles out in Sturgis, South Dakota. Made a lot of money. Couldn't find a place to live because there was 2,000 guys out there from out of town. But one of the local guys said, "Tommy, there's a, my neighbor's husband passed away and she's moving in with a daughter somewhere and you can lease that ranch. 300 acre chicken ranch." Wow. I'll take it. Call the wife. "Come on out." I said, "We got deer and pheasant." And I said, "We got chickens." I used to hunt pheasant with a single shot 22. That's how many pheasant we had out there. Deer used to sun. Rabbits, I had rabbits the size of kangaroos running around out there, for Christ's sake. I never seen live chicken in my life. I got a 300 acre chicken ranch. I figure, boy, I says, "Hey, see, I don't tell anybody I don't drink." When they said, "Let's go into town," I went. "Yeah, I'll have a shot and a beer. Make things better. Things are going so good now." Told the wife, "Come on out." She says, "You drinking?" I says, "No." She's "All right, we'll be out." Well, by the time she got there, I'm drinking pretty good. And I get thinking, well, I got 2,000 guys here, and they got families, and they need eggs. I'm going to get those other ranches and get some eggs, and I'll sell eggs. So I get them, and they give me chickens, and I got the chicken coops, and I got the chickens and the eggs, and I go to the job, and I say, "Listen, anybody need eggs, you let me know. I'll bring them in, and you can stop at the ranch, rah, 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 and I'm going to be the egg king." See, we don't think small. When Alfie's go, we go big time. We don't fool around. I'm going to build one of these here, and if it works, my next one will be in California. That's why I'll build one. Then I'll build one in Jersey and outside of New York. I'll be the egg king. That's all you think. Guy from Iowa somewhere comes up to me on a job. He says, "Tommy, have you had anything to do with chickens?" I says, "No." He says, "Well, you know, you got to put gravel in with the feed. They're not wild chickens. You got them in coops. They need gravel for..." That's what for? "For the shells. Is that right?" "Yeah." So I called Tony. Tony was from New Jersey. He never seen a chicken. Tony was in charge of the heavy equipment and the all that stuff, road work. And I said, "Tony, would you do me a favor and bring some gravel out to the chicken coops?" "Don't worry, Tommy, you're covered." I went home that night and Tony went out with a 10-ton dump truck and dumped it in the chicken coops. Buried all the chickens, broke all the eggs, just buried it. Oh, that was a thing of gravel all over the chicken coops. That was the end of the egg career. Sitting out there wondering what the hell's that guy with sobriety. I said, guy's sober 40-some-odd years. He's telling me how to stay sober. He tells me about killing chickens. What the hell's that got to do? I'll tell you about killing chickens got to do with sobriety. If you don't know what you're doing, get a sponsor. If I would have listened to that guy before I did what I did, I would have known what I was doing, but I did it my way. If you're just here at the hospital or out of jail, or you're going to do it your way, you're going to go right down the tube. Get somebody that loves you enough to tell you what you got to hear, not what you want to hear. Find somebody you don't like. Let them sponsor you. If you got a sponsor saying everything's just beautiful, no, you don't have to go to that 12-step meeting. You just come with nothing. Right down the tube, you're going. Get somebody that says, look, here's what we do. Here's what we do. You want what we have, do what we do. I went to meetings. I thought the first step was get in the car. Another meeting tonight, for crying out loud. I've been going to every meeting for the last 5 months. We go to meetings. I says, I can't go to meetings tonight. I got to spend some time with the wife and kids. My daughter was 4 years old. She's going to run with the clothes. Here, Daddy, please go. We love it when you go to those meetings, Daddy. When you're not in the house, it's great here, Daddy. Meetings. God Almighty. I tell you the same thing. Meetings. Get with the people that are trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. You get strength from one another. My wife brought, she stayed till Christmas and had to leave. Twice my family almost froze to death. Once my wife, the cops called her to come in. She came into town to get me and hit a whiteout. And if it wasn't for a fuel oil truck that found my wife with her eyes froze shut, crawling down the road, that my wife and kids would have froze. Another time everything went out. She took all she'd take and she left. I stayed out there another couple of months, and some guy says, Tommy, I'm going home. Let me take you. So I got to the back door on Avon Lake. The wife says, I got the papers in for the divorce. Just keep going. I don't even want the kids to see you. I went to the hall. They gave me a ticket to go to work in New York. I got to New York. I was too sick to work, so I stopped in for a couple of drinks. And next thing I know, I'm sleeping in the subways and the hallways and the areaways and stoops. I say, I'll never drink wine. You'll drink any damn thing you get your hands on. The only difference between a low-bottom drunk and a high-bottom drunk is one drink and time. That's all. One drink and time. You can go as low as you want to go. A lot lower than you want to go. I remember waking up one morning, I'm in a dark hallway on Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn, and I hear a woman sobbing like I never heard before. And I look over, and it's my mother. And I'm sitting on the stairs, and she's sitting next to me crying. I said, Mom, what's the matter? She says, what's the matter? She says, son, look at you. She says, you're killing me. She says, will you please go do something. Please go get help. I said, Mom, I'm fine. She's fine. You look like death warmed over, Tommy. You're breaking my heart. Please go get help. That's drinking living, people. Let me tell you, sober living. Same guy. Comes in a thing called AA at 30 years old. He always was a good mechanic, but he never knew the business end of the business. But in AA, he meets engineers and estimators and you name it. Lawyers and bookkeepers. And they teach him what he has to do to get in business for himself. So he follows instructions the same as he does with his program. He follows and does what he's told to do. And as a result of it, him and his two sons go into business. And in a matter of 10 or 12 years, I'm making more money than I ever dreamed of making. I get down to Florida, Fort Myers, to visit my sponsor. It was in February. It was 78 degrees. I'll never forget as long as I live. And I said to my sponsor, I says, Jay, I can't believe it. I says, you're down here in 78 degrees, and my mom and dad are still up in New York freezing. He says, Tommy, there's a place for sale around the corner. So I went around the corner from where Jay lived. I bought the place. Went to New York, got my mother and my father, and I took them to Florida. And I said to my mother in the kitchen, I says, here's your new home, Mom. Same woman that was crying, sobbing, is now crying, but their tears of joy. Tears of joy. We call it making amends. We call it, you think getting things? Where do you start giving things, people? I didn't know what the hell life was all about till I start giving. Watch your mother cry with tears of joy and hug you. Thanks, AA. Thanks, AA, because if it wasn't for AA, I couldn't give you a toothpick. Why do I love it? She had some good years. My mother had some good years. I left the hallway that day and I was going to commit suicide. I figure, oh, the hell with it. AA don't work. My wife don't love nobody. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to... You know what I'm thinking as I'm going down to 3rd Avenue Yellow Jump? I'm thinking, boy, are they going to be sorry. Can you imagine that? Where did they hear what I did? It's all their fault. Ah, to an alky, it's always their fault. I got up on the bridge, I was going to jump, and I had a spiritual awakening. I looked down, I seen those big rocks, those boulders that they have. And something said, Tommy, suppose you hit the rocks and don't die. Oh, my God, that's going to hurt. Huh? No, no. No, I don't want to hurt. I don't know any alky wants to hurt. Called the wife. I says, listen, she sent me bus fare and I come home. I split it out on the couch for 5 days. I went nuts. They took me down the hall. They hid me down the mill for 3 days, gave me a 3-day check and said, get out of town. I stopped into a bar to cash the check. Can you imagine that? And I got drunk and went home and wrecked the house. And the cops come. I woke up in jail. I look between the bars in the morning, and my brother-in-law is there, and he looks great. His eyes are clear, and even him, I got to put up my wall. You know our wall? We don't let people in. We don't let anybody in. I can't let you see what I'm afraid. I got to be John Wayne. Bob, can you imagine I'm in jail again? And my brother-in-law, my drinking buddy, laughs at me. Yeah, he says, I can imagine you're in jail again. You're just like me. When you drink, you're crazy. I haven't had a drink in 8 days, Tom. 8 days? No, you can't make 8 days. 8 days, Tom. I got out of detox. They put me in straps. I went into DTs. I got out of detox. I got a sponsor. I go to 2 meetings a day. If they don't send you away, Tommy, I'll take you to a meeting with me tonight. They give me 6 years probation. That night, him and a man older than my father, Jay, come to my house and took me to Lorraine St. Mary's. I can't tell you a thing about the lead, not a thing. But I remember sitting table just like this one, and inside I'm screaming, dear God, help me. I can't live without drinking, God. I don't know how these people do it, but I can't do it. What do you do? How do you live if you don't drink? Please help me. And a man sat down. He says, how you doing, young fella? I says, fine, fine, fine. I'm doing fine. I can't let anybody know. We're leaving the meeting, and the man had become my sponsor said to another man, I'll see you next week. And I grabbed him physically. I says, how do you know that? How do you know you're going to see him next week? How do you know you're going to be sober next week? I don't even know if I'm going to make it home tonight. He's back off and come with me. We went to 20th Street and Broadway to a drugstore. We got vitamin B, Karo syrup, orange juice, and honey. Went to my kitchen table. He poured out the orange juice and the honey and the vitamin B pills. He says, take them and drink that. And that's what I did. You talk about third step? Turn your life over. I turned my life over to him. I did not have a God at that time in my life. I had no faith in anything. But I had faith in this man. He was sober 12 years. And he had the good eyes. Now, I don't know how to explain that, but he had the good eyes. And whatever this man wanted me to do, I was going to do because I was afraid not to. Fear kept me sober. I was afraid to drink. Fear and feet. My head didn't keep me sober the first year, year and a half. My feet kept me sober. My head wanted to drink. My feet went to a meeting. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to my sponsor's house. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me down. I prayed with Sister Ignatia. My head wanted to drink. My feet always did something. I went to the meeting early and helped them wash cups on Tuesday nights down in the basement. My feet kept me sober. Couldn't talk to me about it. I didn't have any. Read the big book. I tried. I read this paragraph. By the time I got to this paragraph, I couldn't remember what was in that one. First year, I got AA in church basements, cars, kitchens. And sitting, listening to Sister Nation and old timers down at Rosary. and going to Serenity Hall in Bay Village and listening to old timers talk. That's how I got it. And coffee shops till 3 in the morning. And men, fellowship of people that were sober that just took me under their wing. Meetings, 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 and more meetings. And at home, things were miserable, people. My wife and I, we were going to get divorced as soon as we could afford it. There was no love. There was no respect. And damn sure was no trust or faith that AA would help. We were together for survival. That's all. Survival. We couldn't afford a divorce. I slept on the couch. I go to a meeting and somebody says, any anniversaries? And somebody said, Tom, sober a year. And everybody claps. Way. Oh, God, I got to hit that thing. I'm driving home. This guy says, Tom, are you still sleeping on the couch? I says, yeah. What the hell are you sleeping on the couch for? You work, put her on the couch. All right, that's right. Damn right. Okay. You still broke, Tom? Yeah, I'm still broke. You've been working steady a year now, giving out checks every week, 40-hour checks, and you're still broke? Yeah, I carry about $2 for the collection. That's all I got. Well, she don't know how to handle money, Tommy. She's probably on dope. Is that right? That's right. Damn right. You better handle the money, Tom. Damn right. I'm the only one in the car. You think it's easy? You think it's easy living with two nuts? I guarantee you there is an alky in this room. Don't have at least two of them in there. I walk in the house and she's sitting in the living room and all she does is read them damn communist books. Them Al-Anon. I walk in, I said, there's going to be new game rules in this house. Now on, you're going to sleep on the couch. And from now on, I'm going to handle the money. And from now on, she says, whoa, what the hell is that, whoa? That's what they teach them in that club, whoa. I says, whoa. I says, do you know what today is? She says, do I know what today is? She says, go in the kitchen and look at the calendar. And around the kitchen, there was a great big red circle. Tom Sober, July the 5th, Tom Sober. 1 year today. Still crazy. I used to think the booze made you crazy, Tom, but you haven't had anything to drink in a year. I know that. I know that. Nothing changed in this house. You're still a self-centered, selfish son that thinks of nobody but himself. Me. I'm fed up with being your whipping post. The kids are fed up with being your whipping post. And this is what sobriety is all about. You can stick it. I went to a meeting, grabbed your old timer, and said, you lied to me. You told me my life was going to get better. My wife's divorcing me? No, we said you were going to get better. Then you make your life better. Went to a meeting. I was sober 14 months. A guy gave a lady. He was sober 6 years. He told my story. God, we drank in the same places. We had the same head. And he was going on his first vacation. Him and the wife and two kids were going to Watts Bar Lake, Tennessee. A houseboat. And I looked at him and I looked at his wife and I thought, when is my life going to get like that? His wife's looking at him like he's a movie star. I said, when is my life going to get like that? When are my kids going to want to be with me? When does these things happen? And he said, take it home, yo-yo. Don't come in here with the great advice for the new man and then go home and yell and rot and rave at the kids. You want to yell and scream? This is the classroom. Yell and scream in here. You're 6 foot two? Great. Find somebody 6 foot two. Yell and scream at him. Then pick yourself up off the ground. Call the wife and say, honey, I want to take you and your kids for ice cream. A lot of us that went around a while tell the new man, take this program home. Take it home. We don't tell you to take it home, or I'm not up here trying to be a marriage counselor. I'm concerned with your sobriety, and I know that the toughest time you're going to have in staying sober is when you and the wife are fighting. You're going to go on a pity party. They don't appreciate me. I'll show them. I'll get drunk. When things at home are going good and there's a show and a dinner and you're sleeping in your own bed, it's not a bad deal. It gets all right. You may like it. At that time, I liked it so long, I didn't know what the hell it was. Bring it home. Bring the guy, you're going to be home. Act as if until. Act as if until. I imitated people in this program. I remember once I was going to quit a job and punch the foreman in the mouth and throw the hood across the floor and leave. And I said to myself, well, what would Jay do? Jay would have a cup of coffee and laugh. Well, then you better have a cup of coffee and laugh, Tommy, because if you do what Nutty wants to do, you're not going to have a job. So I had a cup of coffee and laugh. I imitated Jay. I imitated John. I imitated this one. I imitated that one. I did what I thought somebody with a brain would do, because I didn't have a brain. If I had my way the first year, we'd take your brain right out of your head. All I want you to know is get in the car. That's all. Just get in the car. And drink more coffee and you can handle. He walks around like a zombie. He never sleeps. Fine. He won't get any drunken driving charges. Let him walk around like a zombie. Then he gets a new brain. Gets a new brain. I get down at a table, I say to a bunch of guys, how do you take the program home? How do you do that? Guys, when was the last time you said to the wife, thanks for a nice supper? What do you mean, thanks for a nice supper? I bought the food. When was the last time you called up and said, don't cook, I'm taking you? Never. I might have been sober 14 months, I never thought of anybody but me. When the old timers in the group tapped me on the shoulder, he says, can I talk to you over there a minute, Burns? I said, sure. I thought he needed some advice. You're self-centered, selfish son of a gun. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? A little over a year ago, you were sleeping in the streets. Did you forget that, Burns? Now you have a few pennies in your pocket, you have a decent wheels, you have a place to sleep, you got a warm bed, you got a wife, you got a kid, you got a job, you got more blessings than you'll ever deserve. When are you going to learn how to say thank you, God, for the things you have? Stop moaning and groaning about you haven't got a Cadillac. Isn't that a damn shame? We have four absolutes, Burns. One is unselfishness. Put it in your life if you can. See what happens. Walked away. Now I know you grow or you go. I got to change. I got to do something. So I stop at a Lawson store and I buy a box of chocolate-covered cherries. $1.89. Big deal, huh? Big deal? Yeah, because first time in my life I thought of somebody else besides me. Selfishness, one of the biggest parts of the damn disease. And I got a card that you give somebody who was in the hospital. Thanks for being there when I needed you. Love, Tom. I took the card and the candy and I walked in the back door and I put them on the kitchen table and I walked into the living room. We call this making amends, I think. I was Glenn, I heard a guy talk tonight and damn it, Glenn, I want to be like them. Can I have 2 minutes of your time? Can you imagine I talk to him like she had a brain? Can I have 2 minutes of your time? Glenn, they're going on a vacation. I want us to go on vacations, Glenn. And I don't want you spending every time I give you to buy clothes for the kids. I don't want you have enough money to buy clothes that you need. And I want to do the things other people are doing. And I want to live like other people. And we're going to live like other people because I'm going to change, Glenn. I'm going to be like that guy. You give me a couple of months and all life's going to be different. And she smiled. She said, "Who led the meeting? Jesus?" I'll make some coffee. She went out in the kitchen, and the people, it wasn't 3 minutes, I heard her crying. I went out, she had the card and the candy, and Joe Hodgell lost it. And we sat on the kitchen table, and we cried, and we hugged, and we cried, and we hugged, and we talked till 3 o'clock in the morning. Got out the envelopes. How much we owe this? How much we owe there? Okay, we'll put 10 a week here, we'll put 20 a week there, we'll put 30 a week. And you start climbing out. Anybody on the couch? Get a box of candy. I used to think it was big things. It's not big things, people. It's little things. Hey, babe, how about coming in, having lunch, and we'll go play some golf? Is that a big deal? Let them know you think you brought the scum of the earth home. Now bring the guy you're going to be home. Bring the guy with the new brain home. Bring the guy that can laugh at himself home. Bring the guy that don't take himself so serious like he's the center of the universe home. And make somebody else the center of the universe. For me. You do it your way, but that's the way I got to do it. Our first vacation. What's Bar Lake, Tennessee? What's Bar Lake, Tennessee? We rented a houseboat for a week. My daughter drove it. She was 12 years old. Stayed out there. My kid's diving. First time we had a dime, I come home when I was still about 16 months, and the wife said, "See that $30 on the kitchen table, Tom?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's ours." We got in our new used car, and we drove out the 250, there's a Perkins, used to be a Perkins Pancake House. And I took my family to Perkins Pancake House, and we sat in one of those great big booths. I ordered $30 worth of whipped cream and strawberries and pancakes. My little girl says, comes around the table and whispers, "Daddy, can I have some more strawberries?" I said, "Corrine, you could be a strawberry." My daughter kissed me, says, "Daddy, I love you." Huh? That's my AA. Here and now, people. Here and now. Not for some promise in the hereafter. AA taught me how to live today. Here and now. My son's running the car. I got in the front seat because they wanted to be close to me. Kids that used to hide from me. Now they want to be with me. Let me tell you when you think of something else. I get a call at 12 o'clock at night from my sponsor. He's picked me up about time he did some 12-step work. Went to a house, just like mine used to be. Kids 4 and 5 years old over here by that door, crying, sneakers and underwear in winter. Wife sitting by the kitchen. She's got a big bump on her face, and she's crying. And he's in on the couch. She's my husband's dead. He asked me to call, and he died. I go in the living room. I pick this lump up. I listen for a heart. I listen for a breath. There's nothing. You son of a gun. Why'd you have to die on my first 12-step call? What the hell am I going to tell the guys Friday night? I try to carry the message, I get a corpse. I'm not a goddamn doctor. What the hell are you? I got back out in the kitchen. I grabbed the old-timer. I says, "Hey," I says, "this guy is. He's young lady, do you have anything in the house to drink?" She says, I have a bottle of wine. Let me tell you what impresses a drunk. He takes the bottle of wine and a glass, and he walks in their living room. He hits them together. He says, "Hey, buddy, want a drink?" He sat right up. He sat right up. I look at that. They even raised the dead, these people. He pours the glass, gives it to him. The guy drinks it to about that far down, and he takes the glass from him, and I could see the guy looking. What the hell are you doing? He filled it up again. Gave it to him. The guy's, "Boy, you guys were all right." He's damn right. "Want to go to a party?" "Yeah. Come on. Down to Bayview, down the back ramp." In the bed, I gave him a shower. Can you imagine how to give somebody a shower? I gave him a shower. "You dumb son of a... give him a shower. I'll give him a shower. Get in a goddamn shower." Put him to bed. Get home at 5 in the morning. And the whole reason for this, I'm gonna wrap this up. I'm going to show you how good it is when you do something for somebody else. Changed clothes, went to work, come home from work. I go home about 5:30. I take a shower, I'm going to bed, and the phone rings, and it's the old timer. "Did you stop and see the new man?" I said, "No, I didn't stop and see the new man." I said, "I'm not retired. I worked all day. I'm going to bed." He said, "No, you're not. You're going down to see the new man." I said, "No, I'm not. I don't even like the new man." He said, "I don't care if you're tired, you're not tired, you like him, you don't like him, you put him in the hospital, he's going to be in the hospital 5 days. You see him every day, Tom. His life's in your hands." I said, I don't know what to tell him. He says, "Who the hell says you got to tell him anything? How about bringing him some cigarettes and letting him know somebody cares enough to be there? Can you do that?" What I didn't know is he bought groceries and filled that refrigerator so his wife and kids could eat. Nobody knows things like that. Some people in this program just do that. That's where they say thank you. I take the cigarettes, I go to the hospital, I put them on the bed, I says, "Hi."
"Boo."
"I have a cigarette. I don't care if you smoke, you don't smoke, I got to talk to you." My sponsor says, "Hey, have a cigarette." Like this. He says, "Thanks." And it hits me. There's no secret to sponsoring people. Listen to your gut. It's not you anyway. Listen to your gut. Because something said to me, "I bet he don't know how he got here or why he's here or when he got here." You go with the flow. I says, I bet you don't know how you got here or when you got here. He's, "How do you know that?" That's because I woke up in jail about a year and a half ago and I didn't know how I got there. He says, "You know? You know?" "Yeah, I didn't read about it. My buddy didn't tell me about it. I knew somebody did it. I know. I was there. Where you are, I was. And where I am now, you can be. And we got sponsorship. We are tight. We are tight. Because he realized I'm not talking at him or to him. I'm right with him. And we start running, and we start running, and we start running. He's sober 3 months. He gets in my car. I'm his sponsor. He said, "You read the 24-hour book today?" "No, I didn't read the 24-hour book today." "Well, Tom, that 24-hour book, you should read it. It's real good." I went to a meeting. I bought one of those little 24-hour books. That night I got, "Boy, what do we ask? I'll read tomorrow, next week." "Oh, yeah, that, I know all about this damn book. Where do we ask me about this book tonight, boy?" I get in the car. He says, "Boy, that fifth chapter blows your mind, don't it?" I bought a big book. I hope to God you get in it long before I did. For people, I had scrambled eggs for a brain. I couldn't understand a compound what you people are talking about. I had people carry me, and I hung on. I hung on. 8 months, I get a call from his wife. She's crying. She says, "Tommy, could you please come down the house?" I figured, that son of a gun's drinking, I'll break his legs. After all I did. When you knew, you'd think you're doing it. I got to the house, and I heard a screen door slam. I'm just on Sunset. Heard a screen door slam. I walk up the driveway, and this little young lady takes my hands and puts them behind my back and kisses me on the cheek. And I could still to this day feel the tears. And she said, God bless you, Tom Burns, and God bless AA. Two kids come running out. I'm Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom, come with us, Uncle Tom. They pull me in a bedroom. He's standing by the bed. He's crying. The bed is full of clothes and slips and dresses and Levi's and sneakers. And there was a little bicycle. He got a refrigerator. Full of food. You want to see AA at work? Watch a 6-year-old kid jumping up and down on a bed with a new pair of pants, saying to you, "Look what my daddy got me! Look what my daddy got me!" Looking at his daddy like he's Superman. That's my AA. He went to the credit union, borrowed $1,200, and they went Christmas shopping in June. That's my AA, here and now. I went home, I said to the wife, "My God, honey, you should have seen that house, you should have seen those kids." And she said, "I never seen you so happy." You want to get happy, people? Forget yourself. Forget yourself. You think you got problems? Go down to the hospital and listen to a patient talk about he don't know where his wife and kids are. You'll lose your problems real quick. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to come here and your life's going to be a bowl of cherries. My daughter, when she was 26, was murdered in Florida. I was sober 23 years or so. And I wound up 3 years later in a mental ward. For a year and a half, almost 2 years, my son sponsored me. My son, Chris, carried me around like a mother hen. I didn't sleep for 2 years. They put me in a mental ward. I had AAs visit me from all over the country and coming in saying, "Tommy, you got to pray for him. Did you ever lose a daughter?" This said, "No, I get the hell out of here." And one day my son walks in. I tell you what, we're fooling with here, people. We're fooling with a program that he says, "Dad," he says, "these people may help you mentally and physically, but I'm going to help you spiritually, Daddy. Me in the program, we're going to help you spiritually, Dad." My son's 6'4", 5", 280 pounds. I said, "Take your program, your God, and get the hell out of here. He killed my daughter." My son picked me up. "Dad, I want to talk to you." "Where'd you get that God?" "Don't blame my God for killing my sister. My God didn't kill my sister. A very sick drug addict needed money for drugs. And killed Corrine when she woke up when he was trying to rob her. My God had not knew that. My God cried not only for Corrine, but he cried for the young man that killed her. Because that was his son too. My God loves that. Why don't you borrow my God so you get one? Because yours is sick. You want to see my God, Dad? Look in the eyes of people that are sober. Look in the eyes of people coming back from the dead. That's my God. Why don't you borrow him, Dad? I'm going to sponsor you, Dad. I'm going to sponsor you. From now on, I'm your sponsor." He's, "I don't care how long you're sober. I'm sober 5 years, but I'm going to sponsor you." And he took me through that book together. I found a new God. Found a new understanding of life. I don't know why things happen. It's out of my hands. When I'm supposed to know, I'll know. till then, I'm going to enjoy every damn moment I can enjoy. I got granddaughters that I love. Bring the body. You'll get a new brain, people. Thank you.